today on It's Time.
The Lord was with Joseph. Now, when you see this, you have to know something, friends. God's plan for your life is bigger than what you think it is.
The valleys, I hear the calling, it's time.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time these wounds to heal.
There's going to be a lot of temptation in the believer's life. And how do you stand against temptation? Well, the Bible tells us there's a lot of different ways. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now, again, this resisting, how do we do that? You know, you don't just say, okay, devil, I'm going to duke it out with you. He'll tear your head off. But sometimes in the Bible, we find we just have to physically remove ourselves from that which will destroy your life. Let's open our Bibles again. We find here in chapter 39 of the book of Genesis, the continuation of the story of the life of Joseph. Now remember, Joseph had 11 brothers. And we remember those brothers sold him into slavery for 20 pieces of silver. Now remember, Jesus was loved as well by his father as Joseph was loved by Jacob, but his brothers, his kindred, his family hated him. Jesus was loved by his father, but the Jewish nation did not accept Jesus as their Messiah. The parallels between Joseph and Jesus are amazing. So his brothers, wanting to kill him, rather than killing him, put him into a pit. And some Ishmaelites were going down to a swap meet in Egypt. And they said, well, instead of killing him, why don't we just sell him and we'll make some money? And so they sold their brother for 20 pieces of silver. Remember, Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, again, Jesus was our slave. He took upon himself our sin. Joseph became their slave and was sold into slavery. Now Joseph, verse 1, had been taken down to Egypt. Not by his own will, friends. He was in slavery. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. So he was about 17 years old. We remember that they took Joseph's coat, and they tore it all up and put animal blood on it and went to their father and said, look, Daddy, I guess a wild animal must have ate your son. And it said that they watched their father in grief, weeping over the loss of his son Joseph, all the while knowing that they were lying to their dad. How hard-hearted people can become when they enter into sin. Well, notice it says, he was taken down to Egypt. Now, that's really important because he's now in a culture that he doesn't know. He's in a group of people with language that he did not know. The way they did things, the way they operated, he was completely out of his league. Not only as a slave, but now also completely out of anything that resembled home at all to him. Potiphar, his name means devoted to the sun. This is probably part of his Egyptian background. And Potiphar was a high-ranking official, it says, an officer of Pharaoh. Captain of the guard. He was the head of the SS. He was the head of the police department. He was over all the law enforcement, is what this meant. This guy was a high-ranking dude, saw Joseph and bought him as a slave. Now, we find him now Joseph in a different world. Verse 2 is an ironic verse. And if you like to underline things in your Bible, I would underline this verse. The Lord was with Joseph. Oh, really? He was sold into slavery by his brothers, rejected by his family. He's in a culture that he doesn't know. He was sold as a slave, and the Lord was with him. Wow. You know, usually we picture if the Lord is with somebody, you're driving around with tinted glass and airco. But not him. God was with him, but he was in a very difficult situation. You might find yourself like this today. You might say, well, I'm a Christian. Mike, I lost my job, or I'm broke, or whatever else it might be. But know this, the Lord was with him. You see, God looks at circumstances differently than we look at ourselves. When God appeared to Gideon, as he was in a wine hole, a wine press, down in a pit, thrashing wheat, trying to hide their wheat harvest from the Midianites who would randomly come stage rage and take their food. Gideon is down in a hole throwing the wheat up in the air and the chaff sticking to him and all the sweat. And this angel appears to him and says, thou mighty man of valor. I could just see Gideon looking around going, who are you talking to, Leroy? I mean, after all, he's hiding in a hole. But God sees us differently than we see ourselves. How important then is it that you see yourself the way God sees you? Now, how do we get that? By reading his word. The Lord was with Joseph. Now, when you see this, you have to know something, friends. God's plan for your life is bigger than what you think it is. Right now, in Joseph's life, I would say loser completely. Everything in his life has gone wrong, but the Lord was with him. Isn't it weird how God arranges us in our lives to do certain jobs for him? Now notice it says, the Lord was with him. He was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made him all that he did to prosper in his hand. Isn't this weird that just Joseph's day-to-day behavior was a testimony of the God that he served? I like that. In other words, the Egyptian knew God was real because of the way Joseph responded to his daily affairs. Friends, that's important. Somebody said one time, we as Christians witness every day and if necessary, use words. I believe that's very true. Because again, we need to be about our Father's business. And so it says that he was a testimony of his God because of his behavior. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house. And all that he had was put into his hand. Talk about a lot of trust from an Egyptian who bought this guy at a yard sale, now over all of his goods. Now remember, he was a high-ranking Egyptian official. And by the way, it also is interesting here because it tells us here that most of the people who were in the Egyptian hierarchy were eunuchs. Now, the reason why is so they would be totally devoted to the government, which may set up a little bit of the story as we're going to be reading here a little time farther. Now, notice it says, he found favor, made him overseer in verse 5. And so it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house, all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake. And I've shared this many times. You being a Christian in your business will be blessed because of you. Not that God thinks they're so good. And I've seen this happen in my own life. I've seen where God had me in a situation and used it and blessed the company I was working for. And when I left, the company fell apart. Now, would God do that? He certainly will, and he'll do that for you. Why? Because God will take care of you no matter what the circumstances are. He will bless the company, even though that company is not ran by Christians. He will bless the company because you're employed by them. The Bible says you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Don't lose track of who you are. And so he says, he blessed the Egyptian for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that was in the house and in the field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had from the bread which he ate. This guy had so much stuff, he put Joseph in charge of it. He goes, I don't even know what I got anymore. You take care of it. Wow, he was working for a rich guy. And notice it also says, and Joseph was a handsome in form and appearance. This is only said two other times in the Bible. It was concerning King David and Absalom are the only two other people in the Bible that the Bible says were extremely good looking. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Now, it is interesting. The Bible says that Jesus was not good looking from the way men see it. In fact, the Bible says in him there was no comeliness that we would desire him. So it's interesting that Jesus didn't stand out in the crowd. And I always think that's interesting when Jesus went to Nazareth and he went to synagogue as his custom was, and he was sitting down here in his hometown, and it was called upon him to read the scripture. And so he began to read about how Messiah was to come, and somebody stood up and Jesus and said, only the Messiah can fulfill that. And Jesus said, these things have come true in your ears today. And they got so angry with Jesus here in his hometown, somebody they grew up with, they wanted to take him and throw him off the cliff. And the Bible says Jesus disappeared into the crowd. Wow. Think about that for a minute. He disappeared into the crowd. How did he do that? Because I would have simply thought, get the guy with the halo. Get the guy that's glowing in the dark. Get the blue-eyed and blonde-haired Irishman. I've seen the pictures in the Christian bookstores, okay? The Bible says he disappeared in the crowd. Why? Because he looked like everybody. Get the really good-looking one. Didn't say that. He disappeared in the crowd. Why? He looked like everybody else. There was nothing in Jesus' form that you'd say, wow, now that's a movie star. He was just like us. Isn't it interesting that Jesus did not come to this earth to put on a show as he was born in a manger, as he was raised in a very poor level of society? Jesus never intimidated anyone from where he came from. You ever been around somebody of somewhat? If you don't know what I mean, go up to Sun Valley sometimes. And my niece used to work up at one of the coffee shops in Sun Valley. And every once in a while, Arnold or Schwarzenegger or somebody else would come in for coffee. And she said it was really fun to watch people around a movie star, somebody of somewhat. They would come up and like, I watched all your movies. Yeah, that's what I do. I'm a movie star. They would act weird around somebody that they viewed of somewhat. But Jesus never came across as being a somewhat to intimidate anyone. Friends, I like that about Jesus. You see, just as I am, I can come to him. And because he loves me, he'll change me into what he wants me to be. Verse 7 goes on, after we have been informed that he was extremely good looking. Verse 7, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said to him, lie with me. Now that doesn't mean, hey, tell me stories that aren't true. She wanted to boogie-woogie, but he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. Now, this is interesting. By this statement, he doesn't know what is going on in his house. He's entrusted everything to me. So we could really do this and get away with it, since he's probably gone most of the time because he don't even know what he's got. You see, convenience is always the petri dish for sin. You know, when you were in high school, remember when you were in science class and they put this clear-looking jelly gooey stuff in the little petri dish, a little clear lid-looking thing, and you would touch it with your finger and you'd put the lid on it, put it in a little incubator, and you'd come back a week later and things would be dancing in the petri dish. Fungaloid and all kinds of weird stuff would be going on, all from just touching it. Well, there's certain things, ingredients, that go into sin, friends. Now, this helps us identify what we do so we know how to combat it. The Bible doesn't keep us ignorant, not only for as an example who God is and his power, but how and why sin happens. I remember somebody coming to say, Mike, the devil's after me. Really? Yeah, the devil's after me. And I said, wow, you must be doing something pretty special against the kingdom of darkness for him to devote his time to destroy you. Well, what's going on? Well, and they began to share with me how that they get into certain sin when they get around a certain group of people and buy certain things that they know alter their mind. I go, you know what? I'm not saying that the devil doesn't have help and demons aren't the influencers of power of suggestion. But let me tell you something, they are real. That's why the Bible says to resist the devil, he'll flee from us. But the other thing is, they put themselves in a place where the temptation can happen. In other words, there's the old saying, I got my arm broke in five places. Well, then stay out of them places. It's true. If you find sin happening at a certain place, at a certain time, around certain people, common sense, wisdom, and the unction of the Holy Spirit would say, get away from those people. There are places and things that are ingredients to sin. Now notice, he says, God's given me, or your master has given me, your husband's given me control over everything. He don't even know what he's got. I'm control over everything going on. Evidently, this guy was probably very, very enthralled in the government, which would have left a lot of free time for his wife and Joseph. And he actually indicates that. But notice verse 8 again, but he refused. Now again, resist the devil, they'll flee from you. There is no one greater, verse 9, in the house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you. Because you are his wife, how then can I do this? Notice who he would be sinning against. How could I do this terrible thing against Potiphar? It doesn't say that. Notice what it says. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now, friends, again, ultimately sin is against God. And when we stop to think about that, this is why even when David got into it with Bathsheba, and we remember his confession in the book of Psalms, and he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Well, what about Uriah, his wife, that he had killed? And what about all the other things that were going on? He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Because ultimately sin is against God. There are the trickle-down effects, but when you're really looking at who we sin against, we sin against God. And so he says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was, as she spoke to Joseph, notice day by day that he did not heed to her to lie with her or to be with her. Got himself out of a place of danger, which I think is very wise. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were inside, that she caught him by his garment and said, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. The indication was that men in those days wore outer robes. That's just the way, that's why the Bible says to gird your robe. Well, when you gird your robe, you would pull your robe up so you could run real fast. Otherwise, your legs would get tangled up in your robe. Now, I always thought this was interesting because back in late 60s, early 70s, a lot of the straight line churches, you might say, were saying, well, it's terrible for women to wear slacks. And I pointed out, I said, but do you realize men were wearing dresses? They were wearing robes. So if you're going to say that a man is in woman's apparel, man, basically what the Bible talks about in that particular topic is, if you're a woman, look like a woman. If you're a man, look like a man. Don't confuse them. Know what bathroom you're supposed to go into. I think that's reasonable. But the thing is that he had his outer robe on. Well, she grabbed him by it and pulled it off of him. Well, this creates a bit of a difficulty. But he left his garment in her hand, fled, and ran outside. He ran outside in underwear. Reminds me of that old song that they had years ago on the radio. Running bare down the sidewalk. No, that's not the song. But the point is that she grabbed him, his clothes, and he ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he's brought this Hebrew to us to mock us, and he came to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice." She got busted but blamed him. Wow. Now, I want you to go back and look at a verse to bring comfort. Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. So the Lord was with Joseph. He gets sold into slavery by his brothers. His dad believes he's dead. He ends up in a different culture than he was raised in, doesn't even know the language, being tempted, and instead of being rewarded by God for not doing it with Pharaoh's wife, he's now in trouble. She's saying, "He tried to rape me." And the Lord was with Joseph. Man, I'll tell you, friends, beware when all men speak well of you, because they did that of the false prophets of old.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store, or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening. And tune in next time for It's Time.